Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
Apparently, our computers are messing up. We're going to do Food World with Morgan number two. Hey, we don't have that imaging, the piece that we hit, but Ray can do it live. You okay with that, Morgan?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay. All right, Raymond, go ahead.
Here's a Food World with Morgan number two. Nom, nom, nom.
Perfect.
Okay, the tuna melt is having a huge comeback in popularity. Mentions of it are up 30% on social media since March.
The tuna melt is not something that I would traditionally buy if I was at a restaurant. Maybe if I was at an old school diner and I was in the right mood, but I'm not a big tuna guy, just generally. You, Amy?
Well, I don't. I know what a tuna sandwich is, but I don't know if I know what a tuna melt is.
So a tuna melt consists of canned tuna, mayo, cheese, and bread.
Oh, so just cheese melted on top, probably. I'm not into that.
Just
I don't know.
Tuna with cheese would be fine. The mayonnaise is what grosses me out. Anybody eat tuna melts here?
I love tuna, and that's how I eat it, with mayonnaise.
Oh.
Best sandwich ever.
Yeah, it sounds disgusting. Ooh. All right, so that's the Food World, that tuna melts are coming back?
Yep, that's the Food World.
Okay. For the roast me's, which we did on yesterday's show where we posted pictures up on Reddit, we have some, but there was an issue where Ray put a picture up shirtless and they took it off. I think they thought Ray was trying to do some kind of porn shoot or something on Reddit. So they pulled his picture, so we got to let him stay up. I'll say that we got on Reddit on yesterday's show and posted a picture up in the subreddit called Roast Me, where you're just asked to be made fun of. You're like, roast me, go for it. And they were taking some shots at me, man, big ones. But I asked for it, right? Raymundo's is not existent. It is now, though, right, Mike?
I'm putting it up now.
Okay, so tomorrow we'll do the Roast Me's. We'll read you what people said about us. Eddie, did you read any of yours?
Okay.
I read some of mine.
Eddie, I thought you put up a really good picture, though. You're trying to be sexy and cool in yours.
Well, I thought a serious face would be good, and they would do stuff. But, Bones, really, half of the stuff that I've read so far, we cannot say on air.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of
they roast me hard.
Yeah. Mine is a lot. Yeah. I mean, I'm called gay in every one of them.
Oh, me too, dude.
I don't know why that's a roast, though. But
yeah.
Yes. So we'll do that tomorrow and read some of the roasts. Carol Baskin was granted control of Joe Exotic's former zoo. Did you guys see that?
Yes. That's a big deal, right?
Jeff Lowe has 120 days to vacate the property.
Ooh.
The weird thing is Scuba still talks to her. We can't get her on the show, but Scuba Steve, our executive producer, and her are apparently DM buddies. Is that true?
Yeah, we DM, and then I also email with her PR person. The PR person is game on trying to get her on, but unfortunately, she or myself hasn't been able to convince her to come on our show.
Even when I do my emotional pleas?
Yeah, and I send her those, too, just in case she doesn't hear it live on the radio. I send her those emotional pleas, hoping she hears it, but so far, it hasn't worked, so got to get more emotional next time. You have to actually shed a tear.
I do. I shed a tear every time. I'm just embarrassed that you guys see it. All right. I think that's it. Amy, you good?
Doing great, yeah. Ish.
What's the ish?
I said great, and I was like, I'm not really. I guess I just decided to be honest. But I mean, life is feels very weird right now.
Yeah.
So
it does seem surreal in that Caitlin and I were talking about this last night. 3 months ago, we'd have been watching Corona going, what's happening? Like, this is something out of a book or a crazy movie. And for it to flip right over to this, what's happening now with the protests and riots, this seems like a superhero version of that. Where where you look on TV and someone's got to come in and save us. Like, it's time for Batman to come in. You know, in the first one, it's time for The Rock to come in as a scientist, because it's always somebody real muscular. He'd be a scientist who'd figure out the cure. But this one, it's like Batman's supposed to come in and stop.
We need a superhero.
The people that are busting windows and stealing stuff. Mm-hmm. So, it definitely is weird. And like,
sorry. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I know. You were just like kind of just probably casually being like, so how you doing? And then it's funny how sometimes our knee jerk reaction is just be like, I'm great. I'm good. But then it's really hard to say that this year. Like, normally I can casually say it and coast on by, but I'm like, gosh, nobody's doing great or good right now. Nobody.
All right. Well, with that, we'll go to the show. enjoy the radio
Welcome.
Show. All right. Thank you, guys. See you tomorrow.
Here we go. Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Not
Hey guys, good morning. Good morning, studio.
Morning.
I got a haircut yesterday, my second one since Corona, so I feel back to normal pretty good. And there's a little bit of gray in my sideburns that I get, and then a little bit of gray in the back of my neck, like right at the bottom of my hairline. So it's always the hair that's connected to the body, right? It's not like the hair on my head, but it's like weird body shaving hair. I don't have any gray body hair.
Well, the facial hair goes gray first.
Is that what it is?
That's what I hear.
I don't like it. I'm not so much bothered by it, but I don't like it. But I was reading a story about gray hair. They say it can be reversed, that going gray is caused by stress. They found individual hairs can start going gray when a person is stressed out. However, relaxing and removing this psychological strain can see color return. Scientists found graying is linked to the presence of proteins made by mitochondria, which is basically stress. So if you go and you have yourself a pina colada and just lay on the beach, your hair will grow back a nice, crispy black hair, apparently.
You know what is always a good representation of this?
What?
Is when any of our presidents, you see them the first day of their term, and then 4 years later at the end of their term, or eight or whatever it is, and they look drastically different than maybe they would have if they weren't president.
Yeah, especially the four-year one if they've gotten a lot grayer. In 8 years, though, let's say you're 60. By the time you're 70, that's that's quite a significant change.
Right, I get it. Yeah. But, I mean, in 4 years, I just have always noticed, like, oh, wow. Because, I mean, that's probably one of the most stressful jobs known to man.
And right now is a very stressful time for a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the weirdest thing. You know, I may do a segment today or tomorrow. I was thinking about, man, 2020 sucks. Just as a year. You know, with the protests / riots that are happening with COVID, with, you know, you go back to being a weird year where Kobe died. Mm-hmm. You can just kind of go through a lot of what's happened this year and go, well, this isn't our finest year. The question was going to be, what year would you get in a time machine and go to? Backward?
Wait, you're saying we have to go backwards?
Yeah, because I don't think you can go forward because who knows if the world even exists.
Okay, then I 100%, I go to 2010, solid year.
I was thinking historically, like it would be interesting to go back. Like
19- I was thinking for myself. I was like,
Well, it doesn't matter. There's not a wrong answer. And we're not doing this segment here. But, okay. I was thinking like 1964, watch a championship, you know, for Arkansas, 1994, just to experience something I've always wanted to experience. But, you know, but then do you go back whenever the pilgrims got here, you know?
No, there's no Netflix.
I know, but if you didn't know, people wouldn't want to come back to our time if there's like, well, there's no hologram.
I've thought about
virtual
that.
Virtual reality. Mm-hmm. It's all relative.
Yeah.
But anyway, this year kind of sucks. Let's be honest about it. Ugh. Yeah. What's happening with you?
Oh, man. Well, speaking of going back in time, I kind of wish I could go back in time and take back what I said to Stevenson yesterday. I don't know if any other parents, I think, again, and stress too. Like, there's just so much stress right now and so much going on. And I already have had some weird hormone thing or rage thing going on with me. And he just, you know, sent me through the roof, and I threatened to, like, I felt like a horrible person. But I simply, what I needed to do was take away his tablet. But instead of taking it away, I looked at him and said, I'm about to grab this. And I did yank it from him. And then I said, and I'm going to go outside, and I'm going to throw it out into the street, and I'm going to go get my car, and I'm going to run over it.
Oh, you kept going with it. You didn't just say, I'm going to take it from you.
What
you
I was
gonna...
saying didn't even really make sense. Like, if maybe we were in the car and I threw it out the window. No. I mean, I was going to go out the front door, throw it, then go get my car, then go drive over it, just so that he knew I was serious about destroying the tablet.
Well, two questions. One, what did he do to make you feel, act this way? And then two, what did he do when you said this to him?
Oh, he just stared at me. He froze, rightfully so, and stared at me and just shut down. And then I later went back and I've apologized, but I just want to go back and like not have those moments because I think he's processing so much as a kid right now and there's a lot he's sorting through and he doesn't know how to express his emotions. So and he's got a lot of fear and it's coming out in him just straight up defying me. So the defiance is why I did it, but my reaction was not right.
Yeah. That's crazy because you didn't just say, I'm going to take it away. You said, I'm going to take it away. Then I'm going to throw it. Yes, part two. Then after it's thrown, I'm going to go get in the car, part three. Then I'm going to drive over it, part four. That's yeah. like, you went. That's a whole sequel. Like, you did the whole hard. Rocky. Yeah.
The Bobby Bone Show.
You guys can always call 877-77-BOBBY.
Hi, Bobby. I have a question. I need advice. I just started talking to this guy, and he calls me pet names all the time, like Sweetie and Honey, and I like him, but I don't have a good pet name for a guy to call him back. I feel weird. So do you have any advice on cute names to call guys that guys would like? Okay, have a great day.
Most guys accept what's given to them. We don't have to love it. We learn to accept it. However, if I were to say a name that a guy would like, if you were to call him Big something, he would like it.
Oh, no, but kidding. I'm not doing that.
I know, but if you were
big
like
Big Daddy? Hey,
big,
yeah,
sure.
That's good. Yeah,
big Daddy. I'm just telling
no,
you.
Ew,
like what do you
nobody,
call what do you call
no,
your
if
husband?
If I use any pet name, it's like Babe.
Okay, but if you're like
hey Babe. It's not Big
And you know
Babe.
What? He wouldn't choose that if you got to pick. No. He just accepts it. He lives with it. It's fine.
I don't think he really thinks anything of it. I think but he just thinks Babe. But if I were to call him Big Daddy.
Anything. Oh, he would love it.
No, anything. He would not. Okay, no. I'm going to try this out. What do you want me to call him? Big what? Papa?
Oh, yeah. Big Papa's good. Big Papa's real good.
Anything big.
That's all I can think of is Big Daddy or Big
just
Papa.
Just call him, hey, Big Sweetie. Or hey, my big man.
Yeah.
Big Papa. Big pockets.
Okay. All right. big biceps.
Just figure just anything like that. Hey, big. Yeah. Hey, big babe.
Big hottie.
Yeah, okay. Anything big like hottie? That.
I'll.
If you
can, I'm making a note.
Big stuff. Big stuff.
Big stuff's a good one. Yeah. Hey, big stuff.
Sounds yeah. good, huh?
Big stuff?
Yeah. That's something big. Okay. Trust me on this.
Big boy.
Yeah. Hey, big boy. Oh, big boy.
Oh, big boy, Amy.
Okay.
Big boy.
Big boy.
All right. Let me give you an update. Yesterday we were talking about this guy that was DMing my girlfriend Caitlin going, hey, I'll be your sugar daddy. You be my sugar baby. We went back and forth. He was like, I'll pay off your credit card balance. And he said, I'll give you $400 a week. And I was like, dang, let's talk to this guy. So I took over her phone and started hitting him back up. I don't know where we left it off yesterday, but he said, hey, tell me a little bit more about yourself. I said, on her account, this is her talking, I need a check before we commit to anything. He said, all right, sweetie, what's the name to be written on the check? So I said, her name's Caitlin, and Amy's last name is Brown. So I combined them to make a superpower, Caitlin Brown. So she wrote Caitlin Brown. So what's the name of your bank so we can endorse the check?
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. And I said, I want cash. Because everyone's...
Exactly.
Yeah. And so... It went from I want cash to you can't get cash all the way from Dubai.
Oh, so now.
That's why I'll be trusting prince. You with my check. It's not a prince. Okay. You're out of your mind.
Oh, no, it's not a prince.
Oh, man.
He said, that's why I'll be trusting you with my check. I can send you an e-check so you can make the deposit yourself.
Yeah, right.
And then we stopped talking, and he said, are you there? And then that's where we kind of ended. So it was somebody from a foreign country.
Wanting her like routing number, account number, all the things so that he can just take money.
I was hoping we'd make a little side money and she'd like go to events with him.
Too good to be true.
Who would have thought something on the internet sliding in your DMs was too good to be true? Dang it. Well, there's your update. No love connection here, folks.
Boo.
Thank you. Raymundo, you're still getting married in October, huh?
Yeah, we're set to go the 24th of that month.
Wow. Is that... starting to creep up, get nervous, get excited? What's the feeling?
We knocked out picks. We're starting to get back on track, so I'm cool, calm, and collected.
I haven't got in any sort of suit.
I got you. I got the details.
Because Ray said he was giving us a deadline, and if we didn't get our suit fitted and bought, he was going to kick us out of his wedding party. Mm-hmm.
I know, but I mean, I know the grooms when they turn me down on the bachelor trip and all that, but listen, I'm getting you guys a suit info. Hopefully you don't turn me down on that.
No, we didn't. Okay. No, we said we didn't feel comfortable because of our health going to Las Vegas right now, but we were still going to throw you to Raytopia 2020.
Then we're good.
Okay. And you said if we didn't get our suits fitted and tailored, it's going to be about $100 that we couldn't be in your wedding.
They were delayed in getting me the info, but yes, y'all are going to be able to go in the next 3 weeks, and it's in town. You can easily journey over there right after work.
Feels like prom when you had to like go after school and get your tux fit real quick.
Yeah, that was fun.
I always felt bad for you guys at prom, Amy, because you had to buy your dress.
Yeah.
And we didn't. We just had to rent it.
We rented it, yeah.
Then take it back.
Well, same thing with being a bridesmaid. Typically, the bridesmaids buy the dress and the groomsmen rent a tux.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't go return that after the wedding?
No, unless the bride, my cousin did something cool. It's the only wedding I've been in where known of where they do this. She had us rent our bridesmaids' dresses, which was genius because you never wear those things more than once, ever.
So, Ray, do you have your suit already?
They're working on it. They're tailoring it. I got measured and stuff like that.
Do you have things like your wedding, like your first dance song?
We did. We did the Taylor Swift Lover. But then still getting ironing out. Like, obviously, my fiance's talking to her dad for the father-daughter. My mom's talking to me for the mother-son dance.
Who makes that decision, you or her?
Well, at first I said, Mom, you're only going to do this once because my brother did a shotgun wedding and sister doesn't seem like she's getting married. So I go, you pick the song. But then I thought, I'm only going to do this once. So it's almost something mutual that needs to happen. We both need to agree on this song.
Did she have a song that you didn't feel comfortable with?
Oh, so she pitched me one. And so, I mean, I had to shut it down right away.
Okay, do you have a clip of it?
I have a clip, but it's Carrie Job, and it's called The Blessing. And this is, honest to God, what my mom wanted to dance to.
Okay. Other words we're just not hearing.
No. She says amen a ton. She just keeps saying it.
That's a girl?
Yeah.
I don't think it is. I think it's a guy.
There's a background vocals. It's like more of a hymn type.
Like we sing this at church.
Oh, yeah. I've heard this song.
Yeah, for
definitely
sure.
At church.
It's like,
are you
praise
repeating
and worship.
It? Did you hit the clip again?
No, that's literally the song.
Keep it up.
No, that was just the clip I had, but it just keeps saying the same thing.
So you didn't feel like that was a good first dance song?
First of all, it was 8 minutes.
Oh, wow.
That would be way
too long. Get the
radio
edited out.
I told her I was going to maybe have to do some editing work, but I had to. I told her it's not happening. And she wanted at one point the mom, dad, other parents, and people in the wedding to join around us and dance, like circle us in like a flower type formation.
So you said no.
I had to squash it.
A flower?
She said what you guys would circle and one would go opposite the other group. And I don't know what she was thinking, but I just had to say, Mom, that's not happening. So she's
she has choreography in mind. She's going hard for the father.
That's sweet, though.
The
I think she wants to maybe use it as a time to surround you and your people, and maybe it be like pray for your new life.
That's fine. But she's coming down, so I'm going to pitch her 5 songs that we're going to dance to, and we'll do that in the coming weeks.
Okay. Well, let me know when you get the 5 songs. We'll go through them on the show.
They're not going to be that one, but yes.
What else is happening in the wedding?
Bachelor stuff, trying to get a hotel, talking to Vegas. They said they might be able to hook us up with a discount, baby.
How do you talk to Vegas? Exactly.
The program director at 95.5 The Bowl, Big D.
Okay.
He said he's got connects in the city. So I go, he goes, how many rooms? I said 6. And he goes, let me work my magic. So we're kind of waiting
on
that.
Famous last words.
Mm-hmm.
Let me work. One time we were in Las Vegas. Who said that they knew DJ Tiesto?
Me. I didn't say I knew Tiesto. I'd met a guy at the pool earlier that day who said, dude, I'm a guard. I work at the bar where Tiesto's playing tonight. Just come in. I was like, oh, dude, the whole show's here. Bobby's here. Amy's here. Everyone's here. Like, well, bring them all. We'll get you guys in. So I told you guys, and then we showed up, and they're like, ah.
Yeah, they wouldn't let us. We were all sitting there waiting, and they were like, sorry, we don't know who that is.
And I told them, too, guys, Daniel. I met him at the pool. They're like, we don't know Daniel. Great.
Hey, when you get those 5 songs, run them by us.
All right.
Bobby Bones.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
Thomas Rhett's favorite person to write with is his father, Rhett Akins.
My favorite person to write with as a whole, I think, is my dad, which I think, even though I write with a bunch of other people, my dad and I do have a pretty special bond, probably because he's my dad, but he's also like a really good friend of mine and a really fun co-writer.
Eric Church shares his appreciation for his fans.
There's nothing cooler as a recording artist to have somebody that loves what you do and believes in what you do so much that they really make it their calls and champion to go out there and push it on other people that maybe don't know about it. And they're the reason I'm here. You know, they're the ones that picked up the flag and carried it up the hill.
Mara Morris shared on her social media her son Hayes' first time smiling. She shared the video with the crying face emoji. You can see it at BobbyBones.com. I'm Morgan number 2. That's your skinny. Come on.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Restaurants in North Carolina have started reopening to dine-in customers. And the first day back was a really good one for some employees at Famous Toastery in Wilmington, North Carolina. Servers were shocked to find one couple left a $1,000 tip on their $43 breakfast bill. The generous tippers wanted to remain anonymous, but the restaurant owner says they're a local couple who have been dining there and they wanted to come in and love the staff and food, and they left the money for them. The receipt shows they initially left a $20 tip, which still would have been above 20%, but then they crossed that out and left $1,000 along with the note, "Bless you all." Come on. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Pennsylvania. A 41-year-old mother was mad at her son because he kept taking up all the Wi-Fi. He was on his computer playing video games, so she turned off the Wi-Fi. 20-year-old son gets mad and goes out and cuts all the power to the entire house.
I'll show her. That would be cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah.
Interesting analogy.
Right.
Well, that's what they say. Don't cut off your nose to spite your face, because then your face suffers. Like, everybody's right. Suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So he just hurt himself.
Like,
she cut off his Wi-Fi. You could have probably negotiated that back.
Exactly.
But instead, you cut off all the power, probably physically, and it will not come back whenever you want it, or even if she said okay. Is he in trouble?
Police were called, but they were just made to spend the night separate places. No charges were filed.
There you go.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
A lot of TV news anchors, reporters, weather forecasters were working from home during quarantine. So here's the best bloopers from that all happened while they're working from home. Number one, a reporter is in the middle of a story and her two dogs won't stop fighting with each other. Here you go.
This survivor and his wife. You guys, stop it. Seriously. You guys, stop. Stop it.
Okay. Number two, an anchor is live on the air and her dog keeps barking loudly through her entire story.
Expect most of us dry. That goes for even the early evening. Murphy, I don't like this forecast either. Hang in there, bud. So we really want to pay attention to the as it is around the Red River.
That dog is going bonkers. Number three, a bird flies into a news anchor's home while on TV.
Good Thursday morning, a bird just flew into my house. Well, that makes for good TV. Good morning, everyone. It's a crazy morning over here.
Number four, one of the news anchor's dog won't stop playing with a squeak toy while they're on TV.
Live from her home. There you go. That'll affect your mental health, right, Christy?
Yeah, Sammy wanting attention. She's getting a little excited.
There's a lot of dog ones. Like, I'm looking at the list. It's mostly animals messing with news anchors here. Here's an anchor's dog goes after her pet chicken on the air.
Hey, Dolly, come here. Dolly, come here right now. Sorry. My dog was going after one of the chickens, but all is well now.
Here's a weatherman who says severe weather isn't likely. Then the station antenna is hit by lightning.
Severe weather is not real likely. Here's Kosciuszko County. Whoa. Jeez. I think lightning just hit our transmitter. Jeez. Well, that will go on YouTube.
All right, these are the best news bloopers. One more. A gullible anchor whose weather guy makes him believe there's something in Texas called ranch-a-cue dressing.
When you mix ranch with barbecue sauce,
oh yeah,
that's a really good dressing, if you will.
Mm. They call it ranch-a-cue. It's good. It's really big in Texas. Ranch-a-cue, you get some...
Okay, you're totally... Here's the deal. I lived in Texas, I'm like...
Like, hook, yeah. Line, and sinker.
Aren't news people funny when they try to ad-lib?
Yeah.
It's always the best and worst. Well, they can't... Because they've spent their whole life on a prompter. I would say a little bit's the opposite for me. When they try to lock me into a prompter, I'm not always the best because I'm used to thinking, knowing what I'm going to say from inside my brain instead of reading it. And there's definitely an art to both of them. But when news... Yes, Kathy, that is quite funny today. When news anchors go ad lib, it's really one of my finest moments to watch. I enjoyed that. There you go. There's some bloopers for you.
They did a bunch of research to see how long people will last on hold. How long will you last before you're like, I can't do this anymore?
Depends on what I got going on, but I could say 45 minutes.
Oh, I can do a long time too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just put it on speaker.
And do my thing.
Live your life.
Yeah. But the average person lasts 9 minutes before losing their cool. Millennials are the most patient.
Hmm.
Researchers poll participants on customer service experiences and expectations, and people could tolerate about 9 minutes. I'm telling you, I'm like, well, this stinks, but what else can I do during this? And then keep it on.
The best invention is when they have the callback.
Yeah, but I don't ever trust their guy calling me back, honestly.
Oh,
I'd rather stay on the phone and suffer it. Because on the callback, I'm staring at my phone the whole time anyway, because I don't want to miss it.
Okay, well, what about if they give you the heads up? Like, I was on customer service call the other day, and they're like, so sweet. Thank you for calling. We're so excited to talk to you. We can't wait. Your approximate hold time is 2 hours and 15 minutes. And
whoa.
I was like, okay, no. So
that's
I
like
hung
the cable
up.
Guy that's like, I'll be there between noon and 9 p.m.
Yeah, it was the worst.
This guy sets a world record for drinking pure lemon juice. He did 1 liter in 17 seconds. Now, I'm not going to make you guys do that. By the way, I'm not making you guys do anything. You're just trying to make a little cold, hard cash.
Come on.
So you have 1 liter of lemon juice each. Read the bottle, Lunchbox.
Santa Cruz Organic Pure Lemon Juice, not from concentrate. 100% lemon juice. That's all it says.
Oh, gosh.
Eddie, take a little sip.
That's one sip, dude. I can't even take. Oh, my gosh. And I'm salivating everywhere.
Lunchbox,
well, don't
take
open
a
all
sip.
The bottles. Cause
it's all wet.
It's tart.
Ooh. Here we go.
Whoa. All right. I was going to try to act tough.
It's like a lemon head candy.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do.
Form. And no sugar.
I thought I was going to act tough, and I can't do it.
You're going to have 25 seconds.
Okay. This so we have two of these?
Yeah.
Now, I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to
do
that.
If you can do it in 25 seconds, you'll win $100. If you can do it in 25 seconds, not 17.
Both of these?
That's 1 liter.
Bones, that is ridiculous.
However,
Eddie, don't be scared.
However, there's a second prize here.
Okay.
The first person to finish both of them wins $50. That's the second
prize.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
So it can be in whatever time.
Hey, get your straw out.
Stop it. What's the third prize?
There is not a third prize.
What about who wins between us two?
That's the point.
$50.
$50.
All right.
Whoever drinks.
You gotta get your straw.
The first one to get both of them down wins $50.
No, that's how the guy did it.
You have to do a straw.
You have to do the straw?
He did.
But that's the technique?
Yeah.
That's the technique, dude.
I mean, we can take the straws out. And
do you
want to
be a world champion or not?
Oh, my gosh.
Here we go. I got the timer going. Raymond, if you give me some timer music.
My God. I got it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so Lunchbox stupid. Versus Eddie drinking pure
this
lemon juice.
Might be the dumbest thing I've ever done.
For cash money.
Oh!
The first one is 25 seconds, and go. And here they go. They're drinking out of the straw. Both of their eyes. They're struggling, but they're moving lemon.
Oh, yeah, I'm impressed.
Eddie's slightly ahead, but Lunchbox is coming on strong. Eddie, our video producer. Hispanic fella.
Go, Lunchbox, go.
Lunchbox, white fella. Oh, he's going to the second one.
Oh, Eddie took a pause.
They're both about 5'11" tall.
It's actually not bad.
Okay, 25 seconds is up, but you guys are still competing for $50. Eddie is on the first bottle. He's going to throw up. They're drinking pure lemon juice right now if you're just turning it on. They're both near the end of the first bottle. Lunchbox is going.
I got a brain freeze. Brain freeze. This is terrible.
Oh my gosh. Anyone says uncle and taps out on the table, Lunchbox is done with the first bottle.
I can't do it, dude.
Are you tapping out?
Nope.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
You kind of are. You haven't even
Lunchbox
opened
is,
your
Lunchbox
second
is a third
bottle.
Of the way through the second bottle.
Tapped out.
Champion.
Wow.
Champion.
Dude, I can't take it. Even if I wanted to take another sip, I can't do it.
My question is, why would you not just keep faking it if you knew you were going to do it and make him drink it all?
Let's go.
No, he now wins.
It's so funny how your brain thinks that.
Wait, what?
Like that your brain thinks of that. Like I would never think of that.
I know.
I would just go, I'm just going to keep acting like it
right.
And let him suffer.
I
if
know.
He's going to win the money, I want him to suffer more.
I mean, that's a very different way of thinking.
I know. Bobby has a very unique way of thinking about a lot of things.
Well, your winner of $50 richer. Wait, before you play a song, how do you feel?
I feel a little queasy, but I feel healthy.
How do you think that guy doing that in 17 seconds?
I got the shakes, really. My hand's shaking.
No, dude, it's not good for us.
The guy that did it in 17 seconds, what'd you like to say to him?
I'd like to say that I think if I train, I could beat you, but congrats, dude. You're a world champ, and I am impressed because, oh.
Well, there's our winner. $50 for Richard. Play that song. Hey. He's drinking it during the song. Here he goes.
All I do is win, win, win,
no matter what. He's drinking and dancing. Now he's choking.
Yeah, they're all talking now.
Oh, he's hurting.
Everybody hands go up.
And they stay there.
Take another drink.
And he did in your face. And he's going to vomit. What happens? He's shaking. His hands are shaking.
Yeah, dude.
All right, well, let's take a break. Let them kind of
let us die for a little bit. We'll
gather
come back.
Themselves. I see on Uber, you can now bring your pet. There's an actual button you can push. Maybe I'm late to this. But in the Uber app,
You enter your pickup and drop-off location. You choose a ride, and you can select Uber Pet. And then you choose your pet to confirm, which is wild. You can bring one small animal, such as a dog or a cat. Now, my dog is very small as in height, but he's pretty bulky. Would he still be considered a small dog? He's 55 pounds.
I don't know. Your dog is a hoss.
Right, but he's not tall.
I know, but yeah, he's small, I think.
There's no breed or size restriction. Any additional pets you bring with you, if they're, you know, within the rules there, it's fine, they say. So it'll cost you more, too. But I just saw this and thought, I don't know, they had an official way to bring a pet on an Uber. One time I tried to get my dog in an Uber, and they wouldn't let me. I was touring comedy. And I had taken my dog out with me. And I was like, I need to get my dog to the airport. And they're like, nope, can't get on this in this car. That was before Uber Pet, though. That was the good old days.
Oh, yeah.
The
good old days. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So, Bobby, do you think your dog Stanley would rescue you if you were in trouble?
No chance. My dog is a year old. He's an English bulldog. He won't run to me unless I really say the word treat or there's some sort of eating advantage to his life. But no.
Well, a new study found that around 1 in 3 dogs will actually try to rescue their owners in an emergency. And if the dog has had some sort of training in rescuing their owner, they're 8 times more likely to try.
Yeah, the only way my dog would jump down a well to save me is if I yelled, hey, I got food down here. Are you hungry? And then he would just jump in and die with me. That would be what would happen.
Nice. Well, just so people know, you can train your dog to rescue you. Domino's shared a hack for reheating pizza in the microwave, and I just think it's genius because a lot of times pizza will come out soggy. So apparently you just put a glass of water next to the pizza in the microwave, and the water helps the base of the pizza stay crispy, but it allows the cheese to melt. Wow. And you do only 30 to 45 seconds, and you'll have leftover pizza that's not soggy, and that'll work for any sort of leftovers that you have.
Finally, news I can use. I did see the story and thought, wow, that's all I have to do is put a cup of water in there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right, what else?
What is the least shareable thing that you can think of? Like if you had to share something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a toothbrush.
That's up there. I have the top 5 things that people just do not want to share.
Okay.
And at number 5 is bathrooms. Now, a lot of people have to share a bathroom, but they think if someone is in the shower, you should not be on the toilet or whatever.
Especially if you could see them. Right? I don't care about the water, the flushing. If you have a wall in between it, I don't think it's so bad, but I don't want to take a shower and watch somebody squat on the toilet right beside me.
Okay, well, you and Caitlin, y'all are fairly new in your relationship. Has she seen you go to the bathroom?
No, she's not going to see me go to the bathroom ever unless I'm super sick and can't get up. But that's not a new thing. I've been in relationships that were long, and no one can see me on the toilet.
Well, even peeing.
Oh, yeah, probably. Oh, I don't care about that. Peeing's nothing.
Yeah. Okay. The next thing would be social media passwords. We don't want to share that stuff.
Well, I'm not sharing any of that. Don't open my mail. Don't get in my social media. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Razors.
Don't care. I would share a razor.
Number 2 is what you said, your toothbrush, which, my husband and I's toothbrushes, they're identical. And I had put mine on our charger that we share, but he had his on there. So when he woke up, he wasn't paying attention. And he grabbed it and he brushed his teeth with my toothbrush.
Disgusting.
I know. But well, I mean, our toothbrushes are electric and they're expensive. I have to just deal with it.
And people could say, well, you kiss them. But yeah, but I don't stick my tongue in between their teeth and up in their gums.
I know. We're out of brush heads and everything. I poured a bunch of hydrogen peroxide on there. I don't know if that did anything. And then lastly, underwear. People don't want to share that.
Oh, well, we're Caitlin's all the time, so who cares?
Perfect. Yeah. I'm sure it looks amazing. I'm Amy. That's my file.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Oh! It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So the picture of this was just the coolest. A group of school bus drivers in Ohio surprised the graduating high school seniors during what would have been their commencement week by spelling out 2020 with their big yellow school buses. So it took them 22 buses to to do the two, the zero, the two, and the zero. But it just was a cool, fun way for them to be like, hey, we're thinking of you. And one bus driver even said that being a school bus driver is not just a job, it's an adventure. And the love for our students is unconditional, and each one will always hold a special place in our hearts.
Wow, that's a lot of buses.
That's a moment.
Sometimes when I see the band at halftime go out and do one of those formations, like all of a sudden the band has created the entire Eiffel Tower that's dancing to La Bamba. I'm like, that's crazy. But to see buses that aren't even humans do that through 2020, that's pretty cool too. There you go. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Hey, there's a subreddit, if you go to Reddit. It's called Roast Me, where you upload a picture and people roast you. And so I was thinking me, Eddie, Lunchbox, Ray would all upload our pictures to roast me.
Love it.
That's funny.
And then we'll read them back tomorrow. And then, you know, it may get a little brutal. But that's why we're keeping the girls off. Unless your girls can want to. I just feel like people get meat.
Nah, I'm good.
Okay.
That's quick, Amy.
Yeah. So let's all, Mike D has the info. We'll all upload the picture you choose to roast me. We'll see if anybody takes any shots at us.
All right.
It
could hurt, guys.
That'd be funny.
Oh, boy.
Let's go over to Amy now and get in that morning corny.
The morning corny.
Why aren't astronauts hungry after blasting into space? Because they had a really big launch.
That's pretty funny.
You like that one?
Yeah.
That was the morning corny.
Okay, here's a voicemail we got from one of our listeners yesterday.
Hi, you guys. Okay, I have a question. My husband and I were driving down our street. We saw one of our neighbors pulling the weeds of another neighbor's yard. And I thought, oh, that's so nice. And he thought, wow, that was rude. So what do you guys think? Is it rude to pull your neighbor's weeds? Like, is that like kind of overstepping of bounds, or is that just being a good neighbor? Anyways, I would love your input because you guys always have good input. So thanks, you guys.
So we talked about it yesterday. We felt that it was okay generally, but it was a little tricky. Lunchbox went out. Now, Lunchbox, did you go drive around to find people working in their yards?
No, I took my dog for a walk, and then whoever was working in their yard, I would say from the sidewalk, hey, excuse me, got a question about, you know, yard work, and I would ask them the question.
All right, here is Lunchbox talking to people in their yard, the same question, number one.
I think you go, hey, you missed a pot spot over here. Tell them they missed a spot. You know, if somebody's going to compulsively go fix my yard, then great.
So he's into it. We got one that say it's okay. Here's number two.
Wait, am I paying him to do this?
No.
He just came by and started pulling my weeds?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would be great. I'd show him some more weeds. I'd get him in my backyard, my side yard. He could pull all the weeds he wants. That's a good neighbor there.
So no offense.
No offense at all.
He's not saying your yard looks like crap.
I don't know what he's saying, but he's pulling my weeds, so that's good. That's good. All good.
We got two yeses. Here's number three.
I would laugh probably, you know, but then, like, it's kind of, like, they did that. It's kind of weird if they're, like, on your property. So it's kind of a two-sided thing, I guess. You know?
Maybe
it's one thing if they're, like, picking your tomatoes or something. You
know? Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say that it's, like, kind of funny, like, oh, haha, but...
Deep down, a little bit offensive.
I mean, I think it is kind of, like... Like, oh, okay, I see how you feel, you know, but at the same time, it's like,
Not worth getting worked up over.
Yeah, just be like, you know, I don't know. I got it, man. I can handle it.
I can do my own yard. Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
So is that number three a no? Was that
Yeah, she sounded like she was offended deep down, but she wouldn't like confront the person. She was like, okay, you know, like I can do that myself, but if you're going to do it, I guess it's okay.
I love how you throw in laughs at random times while they're talking.
Well, I I'm going to be honest. It's awkward just these random people in their yard, and so I'm trying to make it a little less uncomfortable. Like, hey, you know.
Yeah, I like it. It's like giving them a charity laugh. Like, hey. All right, okay, one more. We got two yeses, one no. Go ahead.
Depends on the neighbor, truly, because I've done that before out of just I'm bored and it looks like I could be helpful. But if you've had past stuff where it's spiteful or, like, weird, then maybe that's it.
But if you saw it happening, you'd probably think...
I'd be like, oh, cool, thanks.
All right.
I'm going to get to that, but...
All right.
I don't know. This might be like a Newman and Kramer thing. Or
yes, that's...
Be like butting heads. I don't know.
Well, it sounds like if you're not a rival with your neighbor, it's okay. So I'm going to go with a yes. If you're not the Hatfields and McCoys, it's okay for someone to come and... So 3-1 there, people say it was okay. I think generally people are good people, though, right, Amy? We agree on this? All right.
Yeah, I think there's a few that are just going to think, like that one girl was saying, what, am I not doing a good enough job? But they're not going to be mad about it.
Lunchbox, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Michael Jordan's 20-page love letter to someone named Amy Hunter is being auctioned off for $25,000. Holy crap. A 20-page love letter written by Michael Jordan to actress Amy Hunter, who he presumably had an affair with, sold for $25,703 in auction. This happened on Sunday, I guess. Back in 2014, it sold for $2,000. Boy, you talk about a value increase. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Well, here's the question. First of all, if I were Michael Jordan, I would be so weirded out that somebody got my love letter and was auctioning it off. Like, that's personal stuff and people are just buying it. And, all right, can I get a 3? Can I get 1,000? 4,000? That's your heart that you wrote out.
Yeah, that's,
and there's some
it's weird.
Nerd in a suit and tie going, can I get a bid back there in the back? We got $18,000. And you're like, that's my... Also, Amy, let me ask you this. If you're this Amy Hunter, or if you're you, and your husband writes you a love letter, like, that's sweet, right?
Totally.
Okay, what if it's a 20-page love letter? That's what this is. How do you write 20 pages of a love letter?
Yeah, I don't know. I have gotten I'm trying to think of when I've actually received a love letter in the mail. I got one in, like, right after college once. And it was, I remember thinking it was the biggest proclamation ever because it was front and back, 2 pages.
Yeah. If it were three, so, like, 4 or 5 pages, that's a massive amount of writing to express your love.
Yeah.
I would like 20. To buy this just to see what he wrote for 20 pages.
Maybe he double spaced.
So what's weirder, that the letter went for $25,000?
Stevenson.
I ate with the crayon.
Yeah.
What's weirder, that a Michael Jordan love letter went for $25,000 or that it's a 20-page letter?
That's easy.
What?
20-page letter.
Yeah, me too, because I think anything Michael Jordan does is going to go for a lot of money. It doesn't have to be the letter.
Yep.
But the fact that you could write 20 pages of a love letter is crazy. You've only got one love letter ever, Amy?
Yeah, I mean, my husband has given me cards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, professed his love on paper before. But when I think of, like, an actual love letter, yeah, I got one in the mail, like, after I broke up with somebody. And then he called me, and my mom told me, don't answer.
But you did.
She was very wise. No, I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't. I didn't answer. And then, like, 2 weeks later in the mail, I got a love letter.
Hey, Morgan, you ever got a love letter?
No, I've never got a love letter. I've gotten, like, love emails, but never, like, a love letter.
Amy, does a love email count?
Yeah, because I would say early on in my husband and I's relationship, we probably had more technology than we did back, even just a few years before that in my last relationship.
I'm going to say a love email doesn't count because you're not writing it with pen and putting it on paper. I'm going to say a love email does not count.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever gone back? Oh, I need to do this. I haven't done it in a while. But obviously, my email saves so many. And I have correspondence of me and my husband from 2006. And if I look it up, I'm so awkward. Oh, like, I can totally see myself trying to flirt over email and how I was... It looked like I was just casually emailing, but it probably took me an hour to draft what I was going to say. I was super lame.
Kaylin told me yesterday that she never texted me first for, like, the whole first month that we were going on dates. And I was like, really? Well, I never texted any, had any sort of rule. She was like, no, I never texted first. I was like, well, that's dumb. I didn't notice. But if I would have noticed, I would have never texted her. I would have just dug in and been like, we'll see about this. And then we never would have got together, you know?
Yeah.
Back in the day, for all you kids out there, we all made mix CDs and mix tapes. And, you know, for the CDs, we pick our favorite songs, we burn them all on a disc, and then we name it and then either give it to somebody or we put it in our little CD case and then we pull it out and listen to it. So what I've challenged the show to do is, if you were making a mix CD, 5 songs that represented this year for the summer, you know, what would you pick? And I'll go first. Here are my 5 songs. I picked my favorite song so far this year, which is Morgan Wallen, Chasing You.
Chasing you like a side of whiskey.
I picked Keith Urban, God Whispered Your Name, which is my new favorite.
Then God whispered your name, and that's when everything changed. Love came out.
And this is also the summer where I first started watching Curb Your Enthusiasm. So I'd pick the song Frolic, which is the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme.
It's funny.
Because I never started watching Curb until now, and I'm like four seasons into it now. So I put this on it. I will put Dua Lipa, Don't Start Now, because this is the song that reminds me most of my girlfriend and when we met. This was on the radio all the time. We go, we do the drum part. That one, and then I would do Oh What a Beautiful Morning from the Oklahoma soundtrack.
Skipping that one.
No, you would like it. Because I wanted to skip it too. I didn't want to watch Oklahoma the Musical. And then I watched it and I was like, oh man. Eddie, and you're the guy that likes black and white movies.
I do. I like watching the movies, but on my mixtape, my summer jam mixtape.
Yeah, you
tape.
Would. It's all about summer jams, baby. And you feel this one. So, and it doesn't have anything to do with the songs, but you kind of label it with a time period. I would call this one The Music Is Good, But the Summer of Suck. That would be my mixtape because it sucks right now.
Yeah, it does.
Between Corona and the protest riots, it sucks. Good music. Bad summer. I just call it the summer of suck. How about that? All right, that's what I would label it, summer of suck. Amy, what are your five songs?
I've got Intentions by Justin Bieber. Yeah, these are my only intentions.
Shout out to your mom and dad for making you. Why that one?
My kids listen to it all the time, and I love that they love it. That one's probably more so Stevenson's jam that we enjoy together. And then this one Stashira loves, and it's Savage, Megan Thee Stallion.
This song is every third TikTok right now. People doing that dance,
Yeah. And then we also like Miranda Lambert, Bluebird. Sunday Best by Surfaces. Hey, feeling
good. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Like I should. When in
Durga, walk around the neighborhood. Feeling blessed. And then Hard to Forget by Sam Hunt. You've got a cold heart and cold hard
truth. I got a bottle of whiskey, but I got no truth that you should. What are you calling yours?
I call it, I'm not a regular mom, I'm a cool mom.
Oh, nice. Of course. All right, Eddie, over to you. What's your five-song summer mixtape?
Well, mine's going to be quick because Amy and I doubled up on a couple of them, but I'm going to start with Sunday Best by Surfaces. Dude, this is my jam right now.
Yeah?
Picture me in the Jeep, top off, and then it starts raining on me. I'm like, great.
All right, what else?
And then I got One Margarita by Luke Bryan. I think you know why this is my summer song.
Why? Tell me.
Come on. One margarita, two margarita shot. Jimmy Buffett, Bob Marley. Let's go. You want me to move on?
We're waiting on you, bro.
Okay. And then Amy, I'm with you on Sam Hunt, Hard to Forget. Come on. Cold heart
and cold heart. I guess I just haven't heard this one enough yet.
Oh, it's so good.
Will I? Will this be a song I end up going, oh, man, you're right, I do love it.
Yeah. Eddie, I don't know. For us, like, our whole family was in the car last weekend, and it came on, and we all put the windows down and just were jamming to it.
Yeah. I sometimes get the guitar out, and I play this one for the fam. They love it.
You do?
Yeah. And they know every word to it.
All right. I wish you were my dad. All right, go ahead.
And this is another one that we play around the house. I know it's a little older, but Circles by Post Malone.
Oh, you're even doing the harmonizing on his. Yeah. All right, one more, Eddie.
So good. All right, and then this is new, and trust me, if we just wait it out a little bit, it's going to be the song of the summer. It's All Night by Brothers Osborne. Y'all got the night. And then think, man, the party's going to be going all night, so this is going to be the repeat.
Is it a socially distanced party, or are we back in full style?
Oh, no. We're 6 feet apart.
Oh, come we on. Are. All right.
Yeah.
It's like Raytopia when we have his party, because I promised Raymundo we'd have a... Since Eddie and I aren't going to his bachelor party in Las Vegas, we'll have Raytopia at my house with a pool, but we can't invite 50 people. What is the rule now? Does anyone know the rule here on the people you can have at a party before the cops come in?
Mm-mm.
Kick the door down. Is it still 10 or is it now up to 25? Because I feel like they may have phase 2'd it up a bit. Raymundo, how many people do you want at this party?
Oh, you can easily have 50 because our pool is an apartment complex.
No, we're not having 50. I don't. 50. We're not having 50.
All right. I mean, I could easily fill that. All the places I've lived, we made a lot of friends in Nashville since I've lived here.
Yeah, but Raytopia is not all your shiny shirt guy friends.
That's the best description.
Yeah. It's not your guys who lift way too much weight with their upper body and none with their lower and their shiny shirts. That's not what Raytopia is. Raytopia is a party for all of us who know you and know each other.
Besides, I may have already told some of them about it.
I don't want weirdos coming to my house I don't know. So that's the thing, too. Like, nobody I don't know that I haven't met through Raytopia doesn't. And Bay is calling it Baytopia.
Yeah, she's taking her own spin on it. But I was also curious, is it going to be an overnighter? I
mean, no, it's not going to be an overnighter.
What? Come on, Ray. We'll go all night,
it's
baby.
Not church camp. Y'all got the night. All night. I'm not getting Corona for Ray, for Raytopia. All right, thank you for your mixed CDs. Hey, Eddie, what are you calling yours?
I'm calling it Summer Livin', L-I-V-I-N.
Oh, with an apostrophe or no apostrophe?
Oh, you got to go apostrophe and separate your L-I-V-I-N.
I'm being told it's 25. You can have 25 people now. That's considered a socially responsible gathering. All right.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
A 3-year-old boy and his dad were on a kayak in Michigan going down the river, you know, woo, woo. When the kayak flips over, the dad gets thrown out and the 3-year-old is stuck underneath the kayak and it goes floating down the river. Luckily, there was 2 bystanders that see this, jump in the water, swim to the kayak, wow, flip it over, and get the 3-year-old out.
Wow. That's crazy.
Amazing.
That's so I guess awesome. I should shout out Austin and Haley. They're the bystanders that jumped in the water and saved the 3-year-old. So shout out to those heroes.
Shout out for sure. Heroes for sure. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Costco is bringing the samples back. You know, they shut down all the samples because of Corona. At Trader Joe's, they shut the samples down. I don't know when they're coming back over there. But at Costco, they're going, hey, mid-June, we're bringing the samples back, baby. So the weird thing about samples is, and tell me if you guys agree with this, the samples always taste 100 times better in the store than they do at home. Like, I'll get a sample, I'll get a pig in a blanket, and be like, this is so good. I should get a whole bag of those. And then I get a couple of them home, and I'm like, they're fine. Maybe I need, like, a woman 52 years old wearing a little hat and an apron feeding it to me at the house so it tastes good, too.
You and a toothpick.
Yeah. Where it feels like I'm cheating because I know. But are you guys with me? Do they not taste so much better at the store? Maybe they're heated to the right temperature in the store. Like, everything about it is right and you get home. I don't know. But they taste way better in the store, right, Amy?
Yeah, I think you're right. There is something about getting that taste. And maybe it's because you only get that one little thing and you don't be awkward to get more. So, yeah. And when you have a limit, you probably just want more.
Eddie, are you a big Costco guy at all?
Yeah, man. Costco is a big deal for my family because it comes in bulk. But speaking of like the snacks and stuff and all that, my parents just go to Costco just to eat lunch.
That's not true.
That's not true. Yes, it is. They go to Costco and they're like, we purposely don't eat before we go because we eat a bunch of samples and then we're good to go.
But they don't just go to eat the samples. They're just timing their grocery shopping out, right? Which is a little different.
I don't know, man. I'm quoting what they say, and I believe them, too, because they're there a lot.
But they do grocery shop there.
They do. They buy their toilet paper and whatever they need, but they eat.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't want to put your parents in a terrible light like you're trying to. I'm not. They are also eating lunch while they're there doing their shopping.
Sure, you can phrase it that way.
Hey, Amy, Eddie tried to get verified on Instagram. Eddie, did you do the process?
I did. I didn't even know there was a process first, but I was doing something with settings or whatever, and I saw get verified now. So I click on it. I'm like, well, this is easy. I do a little survey, fill out my information. I even sent them my driver's license. I'm like, this should be easy as pie. I'm on a radio show. Like, it's easy to prove it, right? But no, I waited a whole week. It finally came back. Denied.
Dang.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've been there. It hurts.
You have?
Amy, are you verified on Instagram now?
I am, but I think I got rejected 6 or 5 times.
And who says 6 or 5 times in that order, by the way?
That means 10 times.
Yeah. Well, no one goes 6 or 5. You go 5 or 6.
You don't go 6 or 5.
Hey, that my dad used to always say that to me. I don't know why. He'd be like, I don't know. I tried calling you like 6 or 5 times. You didn't answer.
Okay. This is parent roasting session. Amy's roasting her dad. Eddie's roasting his parents. Hey, speaking of your dad, Amy, do you want to tell the show what happened?
Well, we got like the absolute, I mean, it's not the worst news because the worst news would be that he tests positive for coronavirus, but he lives in an assisted living place and a caregiver on his floor tested positive for coronavirus yesterday.
Oh, no.
So what does that mean?
It was, right now it means he's still in quarantine. So, I mean, everybody that lives there is in quarantine. So we won't know. They're not going to test him at this time. They monitor all their residents for symptoms. So I guess at this time we just play it out and hope that for the next 14 days, because they told us that this caregiver did come in contact with my dad, but was wearing the proper protective gear, you know, doing their job. So we just have to hope that the PPE worked and that we get 14 days clear and my dad has no symptoms.
Crazy,
else that lives there too. Yeah. Because I had just felt like so blessed because we hadn't had anybody there test positive. And then they called us yesterday and I feel bad for them. I'm sure they were dreading calling every resident on that floor.
Holy moly. So is your dad going to get tested?
No. And he does not know. And he doesn't listen to the show. So, well, unless today happens to be the one day he tries to log on iHeartRadio. But he's not listening and we're not. At this time, I'm not going to tell him because they already have enough anxiety there and he can't see us and that's already been hard and I don't want to add to it. So no testing yet, just monitoring.
Well, let us know, all right? Holy crap.
I'll play you a famous song from a movie. Just name the movie it's most known for and they get harder as it goes. Amy, we'll come to you first. Can you name this movie based on the song? Like I said, they start out pretty easy. Can you name, this is Will Smith, Men in Black.
I'll take Men in Black.
Men in Black is correct. There you go. Good, good. Lunchbox, can you name this one?
Tell me something, girl. Are you
The Shallow.
Oh. Okay, I think I know this one.
Go ahead.
A Star is Born.
Correct. Nice. Ooh. Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper. Eddie, it's a little harder.
Come on.
Can you name this one? This is Take My Breath Away by Berlin. Can you name the movie? Oh, are you struggling?
Yeah.
You are?
Uh-huh.
Seriously?
I didn't think it'd be that hard.
Take my breath away. I mean, I'm thinking Dirty Dancing, but it's not. I've seen Dirty Dancing. This song is not in that movie. Take my breath away. Dang it. I mean, let's go Pretty Woman.
Wow.
That's not right?
Mm-mm. It's Top Gun.
Oh, my gosh. A Danger Zone's Top Gun.
Yeah, but there are more than one song. Okay. Dang, and Eddie goes down round one.
Wow.
See ya, sucka.
Amy, the band is Survivor. The song is Eye of the Tiger. What movie is this from?
Rocky.
Correct. Rocky 3, Rocky, both would have been accepted.
Okay.
Lunchbox, here's the song. I believe I can fly. His name we shall not share, but
it doesn't matter.
I believe I can fly. Can you name the movie, Lunchbox?
Never seen it, but I know it. It's Space Jam.
It's on Netflix now too, right?
Yeah, dude, you can watch it.
I tried to find it on Netflix and I couldn't find it.
It's on one of those, maybe Amazon.
I think it's on Netflix. Mike, we find out where Space Jam is?
My kids watch it every day, so it's on something. Free.
Every day?
Yes, they love it.
Oh, they do? When I see Eddie on NBA 2K... on PlayStation 4?
It's not me.
I'll text him and be like, dude, are you on right now? And he's like, my kids have it. Oh, they won't stop playing
it's
it.
It's never me.
See?
Oh, it just got taken off?
Oh, we must have bought it then. I didn't even know.
All right, Amy, name the movie. Can You Feel the Love Tonight? From Elton John. What movie is this from?
Lion King.
Correct.
Yeah.
Good. Again, they're getting a little harder as we go. Lunchbox, the singer is Judy Garland. Are you familiar with her? Judy Garland?
Oh.
Over the Rainbow is the song.
Oh, that's a good movie.
This is Eddie's wheelhouse. Yeah. So.
Judy Garland, Over the Rainbow.
Okay, okay, okay. That could be that. I mean, what is Wizard of Oz about? Is that about going over a rainbow? That's the Golden Brick Road, but I don't know anything about
the Golden what?
The Golden Brick Road, right?
Got it.
Yellow.
But then...
doesn't matter, yellow.
But then this also sounds like it could be black and white, like that Gone with the Wind. I don't even know what that is.
I give you a hint. There's black. It's definitely black and white in the movie. So it is old. You're on the right track. There's definitely black and white in the movie.
Man, I don't know any other black and white. What is that one you like, Eddie?
Yeah. Think about it.
What is that one you like? It's called...
Need an answer in 3 seconds.
The only one I got is Gone with the Wind.
Is that your answer?
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
It is a Wizard of Oz.
No!
You're such an idiot!
No! No! How can that be black and white if they got a yellow brick road?
It starts black and white
and ends black and white.
Oh, no!
You got him.
So did I win?
You did. You want to roll through the rest of these?
Yeah.
Here's the next one. The biggest word you ever heard, and this is your wake-up. Oh,
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the celebrated something quite a
drama. Yeah, good. Do you know this one?
Seal?
Yeah.
Batman.
Yeah, I would accept Batman Acceptable and Batman Forever.
Okay.
Would you have got this one?
Spider-Man
Into the Spider-Verse.
Job,
yeah.
Wow.
Stevenson loved that.
This was the hardest one. Here you go. Why do we scream at each other? What movie is Prince When Doves Cry from?
I already won, so just give me a hint. I don't want you to tell me
Lunchbox,
what it is.
Do you know when Prince When Doves Cry, what it's from?
I'm going to guess Zoolander.
No. It's from Purple Rain, Prince's movie about him.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. Oh.
There's a movie called Purple Rain?
Yeah. Oh. And the tiebreaker would have been this one right here.
Amy.
Well.
Bodyguard.
You already won, but yeah. There she is. Nice job, Amy. There she is. Blame it
on
the oops. Gotta blame
it on my juice. Amen. Go. On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Chris Wallace.
All right, on with us now is Chris Wallace, who I have watched on my TV for years and years and years. It's super cool to talk to you, Chris. He's currently the host of Fox News Sunday, which airs on Fox broadcasting stations all over the place. He's got a new book coming out June 9th called Countdown 1945. His dad was Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes. And so I want to get to the book in a second, Chris, and welcome to the show. But I got to ask, as a news guy who's been doing it at your level for as long as you have, are you watching the news basically every second now because of what's happening?
Well, let me say, first of all, I am really excited. I'm tickled to be talking with you. As you know, I'm sure you talk to a lot of people who are on book tours and have a book to promote. I hope we'll do that in the course of this conversation. But right back at you, I've been listening to you for years. You kind of introduced me to country music, and so it's a real treat for me to get to talk to you. And in terms of answering your question, yeah, this is pretty extraordinary. First of all, I've been in the business literally half a century. I've been in news, first newspapers, then TV, for 50 years. And, you know, most things don't surprise me anymore. I'm fascinated by them, but I'm not shocked by them. And the pandemic, absolutely, is something I never expected in my lifetime. You know, that was the 1917 Spanish flu. I was vaguely aware of that, and the idea that we're going through that now and that I've got a mask here somewhere, you know, and when I go out to a store as I had to today, I have to put on a mask. I never imagined that in my life. And now, of course, the riots across the country. I can't say that's so unforeseen. I mean, we've grown up with that. I was around in 1968 after the assassination of Martin Luther King and saw cities rioting and burning across the country. But it never fails to shock you and distress you, because it's, you know, to see America at war with itself is bad thing.
You know, as someone who has seen this happen a few times, and not just these instances specifically, but do you see history repeating itself? Again, not just in this instance, but as covering the news, do you see the same thing happening cyclically over and over again?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there's some things that, you know, that's part of the excitement. I probably the wrong word to say, but, you know, look, if you're a fireman, you like to go chase fires. If you're a newsman, you like to go chase stories. So it is part of the excitement when there's something new or unforeseen that happens. There are surprises. Donald Trump getting elected president, that certainly was a shock and a surprise. As I say, if the pandemic is history repeating itself, it took 100 years for it to repeat itself at this scale in our country. But police brutality, the murder of unarmed black people by white policemen, unfortunately, that does, I understand it's an exception. And, you know, whether it's 90 or 95 or 99% of the police, I think, do a great job, Bobby. But yes, this does happen, and, you know, when it happens, there's usually a reaction.
On with us now is Chris Wallace. He's got a book, which I'm super excited about. It comes out June 9th. It's called 1945, and I was just reading some notes from the book because, Chris, I'll be honest with you. I don't have it. I would love to have it with a little note in it that said, Bobby, you're my favorite ever.
I think you got a friend who's the author.
Okay, well, that's all I'm saying, you know.
there you go. I can get you a copy.
Yeah, with a little note in it maybe that says you're my favorite radio person in the history of the world, way more than Walter Cronkite,
Bobby, go ahead. Yeah. Don't push it.
Okay. Well, he's got a book coming out called 1945 where you interviewed, I'm looking at the list here, George Clooney, some celebrities.
Well, wait a minute. Can we talk about the book for a minute?
Hold on a second. I want to keep my listeners tuned in here because what I'm going to say is after we talk about the book, I'm going to talk about some of the famous people that you've interviewed.
Okay.
See, I'm hooking them back. I'm saying if you leave now, you're going to miss when we talk about him talking to George Clooney, Mother Teresa, Michael Jordan, all that. So don't leave.
All through.
Okay. So this book, 1945, walk me through what's going to hook my listeners to check the book out.
Well, I had always wanted to do a book about a great event and to just delve down into it and take you along for the ride. This is not a dusty history tome. There are not a lot of footnotes. It's absolutely well-researched, true history, but it reads like a thriller, even though you know the story. And it's called Countdown 1945, the 116 days that changed the world. And basically, it starts on April 12, 1945, when Harry Truman is the vice president of the United States, and he suddenly gets a call to come to the White House. And he puts down the phone, and he says, Jesus Christ and General Jackson. And he rushes to the White House, and when he gets there, Eleanor Roosevelt, the wife of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who's been president for 13 years, says, Harry, the president's dead. And he says, Mrs. Roosevelt, is there anything I can do to help you? And she says, no, Harry, is there anything we can do to help you? Because you're the one in trouble now. And he had only been president or vice president for 82 days and basically kind of shunted off to the side. And he's now the president. And America is at war with the Nazis in Europe, with the Japanese in the Pacific. And after he's sworn in, the Secretary of War, a 77-year-old guy named Henry Stimson, says, Mr. President, I need to take you aside. Takes him aside, and he says, I need to tell you about a secret project to create a weapon of immense power, more powerful than anything that has ever been developed or researched. And Truman has no idea what he's talking about, even though he's vice president, and it's the Manhattan Project to develop the first atom bomb. In 116 days, Truman, one, has to learn about it. Two, the bomb has to be tested for the first time. And then he has to make the decision whether or not to drop it on Hiroshima to try to end the war on August 6th, 116 days later. And I promise people are going to say, I knew that story. It's Truman. It's the scientists at Los Alamos. It's the soldiers, the flight crew in Utah and later at Tinian Island in the middle of the Pacific. It's a 10-year-old little girl named Hideko Tomoro on the ground in Hiroshima. The best thing I can say is it's a page turner. It's a thriller. It's a perfect book for, you know, if you just want to, if you're taking a vacation or you're just reading. I thought to myself, it's a perfect book to take on a plane, but nobody's getting on planes anymore, so you'll have to find another place to read it.
And you're telling me, because I mostly, 99.9%, only read nonfiction. As exciting as you're telling that story, all that is true. All the things in the book are true.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, no, this is nonfiction. This is, everything has been thoroughly researched, and there's so many things that happen in the course of this that are going to surprise you. The President Truman, he goes to Potsdam to meet with, this is right after the Germans had surrendered, to go meet with Winston Churchill and Joseph Stalin, the Soviet leader, Churchill, of course, the British Prime Minister, and the day that he's first there, July 16th, 3 weeks before the bomb is dropped, they have the first test of the bomb, and the scientists are in Alamogordo, on a desert in New Mexico, and they don't know. Some of them are saying, we're going to hit the switch, and it's going to be a dud. Nothing's going to happen. And other people say it is going to ignite the atmosphere, and they literally are wagering, will it destroy just New Mexico, or will it destroy the western United States? So, you know, this is the unleashing of the atomic age, and there are people you never heard of who are just fascinating, and you're also a lot of people you have heard of, like Dwight Eisenhower, the Supreme Allied Commander in Europe, who says to Truman a few days before, "Don't drop the bomb. The Japanese are going to surrender anyway, and we shouldn't be the first country to unleash the first true weapon of mass destruction." And Truman wants to hear what he has to say, but he doesn't go with him. He decides he's going to drop the bomb anyway.
You know, I've been reading Accidental Presidents is what, you know, that touches very, very lightly on what your book really goes into, you know, especially, you know, with the president dying. And that whole Accidental Presidents is about people who really weren't expecting to be the president being told, whoa, time for you to go. And they're like, holy crap, now I got to be the president. And so, you know, there's a light stroke on what you're talking about in this book, but I'm going to read it.
I'm going to get you a copy. Maybe, depending on how this interview goes, I might put a little inscription in it. And I want you to honestly tell me and your readers afterwards whether or not you enjoyed it, because I'm that confident that you and they will say, you know what, that really was a good read.
Yeah, I'll read it. And then I have your number, so I'll call you in the middle of the night and be like, hey, okay, hey, Chris, wake up. It's me, Bobby. I want to talk about chapter 4. Here's what I have to tell you. Yeah, I'm really happy you're here. I just wanted to ask you a couple things because I was going through all your notes of all the great people that you've spoken to, and I was first reading about Mother Teresa. You've interviewed Mother Teresa. I wonder what is not talking to her like, but what is getting to her like, and how many people do you have to go through when you talk to someone like a Mother Teresa?
Well, this was back in 1979, and she was in Calcutta, which is where her mission was. And, I don't know, she had just won the Nobel Peace Prize, and so we went halfway around the world to interview her. I didn't have to set it up, but I remember we arrived at her mission, and I am not a particularly, well, I am a religious person. I believe in God. I'm not a particularly organized religious person, but I have to say that whether it was on a spiritual plane or a religious plane or a secular plane, she operated at a different spiritual level than anybody else I had ever met. And I remember when we were there for a week, seeing how she, you know, was tending to lepers and people who'd been left on the street to die, and this extraordinary missionaries of charity. And I remember at the end of it, she brought me and my crew up to the chapel in her mission, and she prayed for our safe trip. And I was at the time, I'm pretty good about it now, I was a little bit of a nervous flyer, but when it ended, I turned to my producer and I said, you know what, I've never felt safer about a plane trip. God's flying on this plane with us. And she was just remarkable. She was a tough lady. She was a little Yugoslavian lady, I don't know, 5 feet tall, but she was tough as nails as you had to be to deal with the extraordinary poverty and famine, you know, the lack of food and sanitation and all of that in Calcutta, and to kind of create this oasis that she had.
Did she have bodyguards making sure nobody harassed her?
No. I mean, you got to remember, this is 1979. This is a different world, and there wasn't that kind of security in those days. I'll tell you, Calcutta, though, I've only been there once, and that was quite extraordinary. We came in from the airport, and we're driving along. There was no big superhighway. You're driving along like a two-lane road, and this is in the middle of the night, and there were all these lumps, dark mounds on the sidewalks along the road coming in from the airport to the center of the city. And I remember saying to the driver, what's that? And he said, that's people. And I forget the number. I mean, it may have been a million. It may have been 2 million who just slept on the side of the street, and they had these open gutters but where the sidewalk met the street that had running water in them. And that's where people would bathe and would brush their teeth. And that sanitation, I mean, that, you know, it's kind of I should say sanitation in quotes, but it was an extraordinary scene, unlike anything I've ever seen before or since.
That's what I'm going to say when this interview is over. When I was talking to Chris, it was an extraordinary scene, unlike anything I've ever seen or done before. How about that?
Good. Yeah. I like that.
Thank you very much.
We'll put you in the blurb for the book here. Did I tell you I've written a book?
You have. By the way, let me hit it again. Chris Wallace is on. It's June 9th. It's called Countdown 1945. Although, Chris, to be fair, people are going to hear this on radio, but millions are going to hear it on podcasts, so they don't need to hear me reset it up because they've already heard us say it once. That makes sense?
Yeah, you can never say it.
Okay. All right. All right.
Incidentally, I want to thank you for dressing up for this interview. Because,
Listen, let me ask you a couple more questions before I get roasted here too much. Michael Jordan, you were with Michael Jordan while he was still playing. You know, I don't know if you watched the documentary or not. I felt like...
I watched every minute of it.
Okay. You know, depending on who you talk to, some say, you know, he was a great leader. Some say he was a great bully. What would you say about Michael Jordan?
I would say what happened was that I loved Michael Jordan. I used to watch him all the time, and I always said, you know, I'm going to watch him. And then the son of a gun quit. And I thought, my God, I've missed my chance. And then he came back, and I said, I'm absolutely going to go see him. And so I live in Washington, and they came to Washington once a year, and I made a point of taking my son, who was then 10 years old, out to see him. And it was like the Beatles. This is the first year that he came back, and they won 72 games, I think. They were either 70 and 12 or 72 and 10. I'm sure somebody out there knows. But they broke the record for the most wins. And, you know, it was Jordan and Pippen and Rodman and Phil Jackson. And I said, this is the Beatles. And I was working on a magazine show with Diane Sawyer and Sam Donaldson at the time called Primetime. And so I went to my producer and I said, if we can get us with the Beatles, can do it? And he said, sure. And you pitched them. For some reason, you know, they were the hottest story in sports then. They said yes. And we basically spent about a month, not all solid, but on and off, on the road, at home with the Chicago Bulls. And the highlight was I got to play hoops with Michael Jordan. I went up to him and I said, all right, so we're going to do this. And I said, let's play a game of horse. And he said, no, let's play dog. And I said, what's dog? He said, it's two letters shorter, D-O-G. So I said, okay. But I said, you start with D-O, and you have to shoot from the three-point line, and I can shoot from a few feet closer in. That was fine with him. So I'd start shooting. He'd start yelling. I'd miss the basket. He'd laugh. And then he hit one, and I missed, and now it's D-O to D. And finally, I hit a shot. I swear to God, this is the truth. And he missed it. And I said, Michael, that would be dog, wouldn't it? And he said, weren't we playing horse?
Listen, by the way, 1945, I haven't said this enough. Countdown 1945 is Chris Wallace's book. There he is, holding it up again. You can see it. Soon you'll be able to feel it in your hands. You'll be able to read it. You will be emotionally moved. Yeah, you will be smarter. I'm going to read it, though. I'm going to read it. That will be, for my listeners, if I come on and go, hey, I read it and I enjoyed it, that'll be the real push. You can expect to be a bestseller for the rest of your life, every week for the rest of your life, if I read it and love it, Chris. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
They trust me that much.
I will take, and if you, and let me say, if you don't like it, trash it, because I promise you, you're going to like it. Everybody I know says it. You know, I know the ending, and yet I was sort of on the edge of my seat reading it.
One other question: how much of the suits that you wear on TV do you have to buy them, or do they just swap them out with you?
I'm sorry, say that again.
The suits on TV that you wear, I look at them. They look expensive. Are you having to pay for them, and do you keep them, or do they just send you a suit, you wear it, look pretty, and they send it off to somebody else?
I got to say, you know, I've been interviewed a lot, and I'm doing a lot of interviews for this book tour. Nobody has ever asked me that question in my entire career. I have to say it's a pretty good deal. Fox buys our clothes for us. My wife is really... I'm going to put that down there so I look bigger in the screen. My wife doesn't like it because I complain when she spends money on clothes, and I get all of my suits for free. And they, like, you know, they have measured you, and, you know, so they're kind of custom made. It's a pretty good deal. And of course I keep them. Who else wants a used Chris Wallace suit? Mm. So, yes.
All right.
But, I mean, seeing the way you dress, Bobby, I would be happy to lend you a suit.
Appreciate that. I would take it. Sign
maybe
the,
that was that where we were headed with this conversation?
It was not. I'm probably far more muscular and broad, Chris. Ugh, just saying.
What size suit do you wear?
I don't know. I don't do fancy stuff like that. I wear a hoodie. I don't know. I have no idea what size suit I wear. If I'm being honest, like on American Idol, they do the same thing. They put me in clothes and then I have them. So that's
you don't know what's. I mean, you don't know like whether you wear a 38 or a 40 or a.
I don't know. Do most men know what size suit they wear? I'm not as fancy as you.
I do. I think most men do.
Okay. Well,
like if you go into a store and they say
medium.
Well, first of all, do you wear suits or not?
I have to wear suits all the time. Like when I present on award shows or host things, I have to wear suits. Yes.
Yeah. So if you go into a store, do they not say to you, "Hey, Bobby, what size suit do you wear?"
You know what? I'm gonna text because we have just a couple more minutes on this interview. I'm gonna text my stylist right now. Do you have a stylist, Chris?
Oh. My stylist, yeah. You know what my stylist is?
What? Okay. I'm gonna text right now. What size suit am I? Let's see. What size suit am I? Let's see if we get a response in the next minute or so.
Okay.
Final news question for you. Do you think Carol Baskin killed her husband?
Is this Tiger?
Yes.
You know, here's the deal. Thanks incidentally for ruining the show. I watched the first episode. I'm probably going to lose all of viewers and listeners with what I'm going to say. I watched the first episode, and I thought, these are the worst people I've ever seen. I don't like anybody. I'm not rooting for anybody. And that's it. I stopped watching.
So you?
I mean, I'm binging on Netflix and Amazon. I'm watching a whole lot of TV, some of it good, some of it not so good. But that Tiger King, I watched one episode, and that was enough.
Okay.
So I don't know what the answer to that question is.
All right, Chris Wallace is on with us. By the way, I am closest to a 38. That's the size suit I wear. What size suit are you?
Well, you see, I'm a little bigger and brawnier. I'm a 39. Mm. So what I could do is that I could send you one of my old ones, and you could take it in at the shoulders since mine are a little broader. And
feels a little insulting, but I'll take it. Okay, here we go. One final time. Chris Wallace. Countdown 1945. It comes out June 9th. I'm going to get it. I'm going to read it. Chris, I'm just such a big fan. I feel like you have been in my living room or my bedroom all my life. And thank you for spending time with us. Who knew you were actually a nice guy?
Well, I have listened to you plenty of times driving around places. As I say, you kind of introduced me to country music, which I really do love. Let me just say one quick thing. You know what I love about country music? That it's a community. And when they have these award shows, which is really all I ever see, when somebody's singing, everybody else gets up and they know the words to somebody else's songs. And I think that's pretty cool.
Amy, ask one question to Chris before he has to go.
Oh, well, I sort of just have a tip for Chris.
Oh, wow.
So Chris, are you, when you're doing interviews for your book, it comes out June 9th. And Father's Day is June 21st. Like, you've got to go the angle of, like,
nice.
This is the best gift for you to get your father or father-in-law. Because as you were talking, I was like, okay, I'm going to go pre-order or do whatever I need to do to order this for my father-in-law and my husband. Because they will love this story. Ooh. They'll love the book. And
can you
boom,
come with
Father's
me
Day shopping done.
And you can just, because that is actually a great angle. I appreciate that. Yes. You know what? This is a great Father's Day book. Your father, your father-in-law, your husband, your son will love this book.
There he is.
Perfect.
Is that good?
Chris Wallace.
Did I do that
anytime.
Okay?
June 9th. Yeah. It's called Countdown 1945. Chris, a pleasure to talk with you. Good luck on the rest of your book tour. I hope you sell so many books you can't stand it.
Thank you. Great talking to you. Great tree.
Bye, Chris.
Coming from the Bass Pro Shops and Cabela Studio on Music Row, we are the Bobby Bone Show.
That's right. Eddie and his wife are going fishing with Caitlin and I on Friday after the show.
Yes.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Eddie sent me a note. Hey, can we bring alcohol? Of course.
Yeah, man. I'm thinking, like, what do I need? Do we need to bring a Sixer, Brew Dogs? Maybe, do I need to bring my stick? Do I bring my own stick,
don't
my
worry
own tackle?
About that. Don't worry about that. No, you don't need your tackle.
I got some good lures.
No, just show up. If you want to bring a little snack, you can. We're only going to be out there like 4 hours.
Okay.
But, yeah, bring your Brew Dog, whatever that is.
Just beer, dude. It's just what I call beers. But man, I'm excited, dude. So what are we doing? We catching big mouth. What are we going for? Okay. Large mouths? We're going for hybrids? We're going for catfish?
Just stop yelling fish names. Just sound smart.
We're doing perch. We're doing walleye.
We're going striper fishing on Friday. So anyway,
yes, baby.
Me and Caitlin and Eddie and his wife are going striper fishing. And Caitlin and your wife haven't met each other yet.
Correct. So my wife's really excited to meet her. She cannot wait.
Yeah. All right. That's it. We're done. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. All right. Bye, everybody.
The Bobby Bone Show.